Hi, this is Mike Dettillier, and you are listening to Flourish Truly with Tina and Georgette.
Live from New Orleans, home of good food, good music, and tons of fun, this is Tina and Georgette with Flourish Truly. Hey, my friend, how are you doing this fabulous week?
I'm doing all right, all things considered.
Yeah, did you get any sleep last night, or were you just so angry after that game?
Is this the part where you want me to just launch into it and get it over with? Because I am not happy. I know I said I would tell you about it on the show, and I'm not happy. Mm-hmm. Happy to launch right in.
No one is happy. And I always say this when people say I have good news and bad news, I always say, let's go with the bad news first. So let's just jump right in head first.
I wrote it down because I wanted to be clear about my thoughts. And I'm just going to go through them quickly because we're all sick of it. But here's what we have. We have Alvin Kamara and we have Taysom Hill. And the two of them last night combined for 11 touches. 11 touches in the entire game. 3rd and 2, 3rd and 1. 3rd and 4. And we call plays where we want Andy Dalton to throw the ball. And we've got Taysom Hill standing on the sidelines and we're using Alvin Kamara to block dudes instead of getting the ball to the two guys we know are going to get that ball down the field. And don't come at me and tell me fans in my tweets about how blocking yakety yak O-line. I don't want to hear it because we mismanaged that entire game. Andy Dalton is not a mobile QB. So there he is getting blitzed, getting sacked. I heard kill and I cried a little. It brought back misty watercolored memories. The play calls are weak. The coaching is weak. If I hear DA in a post game say one more time, I like what I see, but we got some things to clean up, I might actually reach through the television and strangle him myself. And then my last favorite statement by him is, yeah, I'm not looking to make changes at QB right now. I'm really comfortable with our QB situation. Bruh, that is like when Sean Payton said last year, I'm happy with our wide receiver room and we're using Bromart stock boys to catch balls. I do not understand what is happening with this team. And it is perplexing to me that week over week with a roster this talented on paper and guys looking like Tyrann Mathieu out there trying to tackle like a devil, and we still can't manage to win this game. This is embarrassing. I'm done.
That was the exact word I was going to use. It's completely embarrassing. We were outplayed. We were outcoached. Yes, where the heck was Alvin Kamara? Where was Taysom Hill? Mm-hmm. You got two of your most talented guys on offense, and they're just ghosts. They're invisible. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the problem is with Dennis Allen and his play calling and his attitude with the quarterback situation. I had this discussion with somebody this morning. Okay, you're comfortable with Andy. Number one, why? Because when Jameis was playing, and I'm not saying this year, so please don't come at me online about this year. When you're dealing with three injuries, those numbers don't count. I'm talking about last year when he was healthy and didn't have the talent we had. Look at the numbers. Yes, I know from a standpoint, you're going to be more comfortable with Andy because number one, Jameis was hurt. When Jameis was hurt during training camp and during practice, who was getting the reps with the ones? Andy was. So of course, yeah, I guess the chemistry is there, but Jameis is never going to get any chemistry with these guys if you don't let him play. And we're not going to win any games unless you let him play. The only thing I can think of, and I said this last night and I put it in all caps, I said, if Jameis is 100%, please let him play. If he's not, then that's the only valid reason I have for you not letting him play right now. Maybe he's not, because I know how serious his injuries were. But please be honest with us. Just tell us what's going on. Instead of sitting here and seeing this season wasted, and I will say wasted now because, I mean, that's basically where we're at. Week 10, we have all these teams in the NFC. We're so used to seeing every postseason. Aaron Rodgers, the Packers. You see how the jokes were online this week about Aaron Rodgers should just hang it up after the season. Even little Wayne came out and said it.
Yep.
He's a huge Packers fan. All these teams that you normally don't see playing well are playing well. This is the year that our division sucks. This is the year the Saints should be running away with it. I know you and I talked about it before the show. If Sean still had this team, and even with all the injuries and the wide receiving core we had last year and COVID and everything that happened, this team would be running the division right now. If Sean was still here and we had what we had last year right now at this point, But if anything, we should have improved and we look like this. It is just embarrassing. And I'm so over it. I know this team is better than this. They regressed so much from last week. It was my own fault that I was cautiously optimistic because I said, oh, if I see them one more week, lay an egg, I'm done with it. And last week, shame on me, they fooled me because they came out with fire and passion and swag and the things they hadn't had all season. And I said, well, you know, the 10 days, they use those 10 days to regroup, recharge, reset the season, as Dennis was calling it. No, you know what it was? It was probably Sean coming to give him a pep talk. Drew was in the building as well. You know, maybe a little nostalgia, you know, just a little bit of Halloween magic. But that is not the New Orleans Saints for 2022 that we saw last week. What we saw last night is what we have this year. And it sucks. They suck. And it's embarrassing. And like I said earlier today, we're on a hamster wheel and it's time to get off this ride. Mm-hmm. Everybody and their grandmother knows what needs to be done. And I just don't think we're going to see a change until after the season. And it sucks because here we are. Week 10, saying the same things we said week 4, week 6, week 8. And it's just sad.
It is. You know? I look at guys like Alvin. He looks defeated. Taysom is the only guy that looks like he's kind of having some fun out there, but I guess.
Well, because he loves to hit guys. You know, I think in his past life, he was a wrestler or something. Because I mean, he just loves hitting guys. He's just happy to hit guys.
Yeah, he lights up. That was great. Yeah, that's a great point. But Alvin looks like he is not happy. And I don't like to, I hate using that vague term, but the word I want to say, I'm not going to say, because I don't want that associated with Alvin, but he is not happy. And, you know, I see the defense and DeMario out there running around like a lunatic and Tyran. And I just think, you know, Tyran said something very interesting yesterday. He said, or last night, he said they were trying to line up and there were a couple of, you know, looks that the offense gave. And there was a little bit of confusion from our D because we couldn't get lined up the way we want to. And I'm not even going to say what someone ascribed Tyran to have said, which was complete falsehoods. But, you know, when I heard that, I thought these guys are crying out for someone to be a firm leader and to like give them that sense of confidence so that they can get out there and demonstrate the swagger. The level of talent on our roster is ridiculous. And these guys want someone to lead them. No one is doing it. And it's really infuriating because we're wasting. Football is finite. Their time to shine is finite. And their careers are finite and we're wasting it. We are wasting these dudes.
Yeah, it's really sad. And when you see somebody like DeMario Davis, who is so charismatic and he's doing his post-game press conferences and he just looks just completely defeated and lost because he doesn't know what to say. Because I mean, like I said, we sound like a broken record. Like, I mean, how many weeks in a row can you say the same thing? Definition of insanity is what? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And this was Dennis Allen's defense. This was his guys.
It's unrecognizable.
It really is. It really is. And it's just heartbreaking as someone who follows a team, covers the team, who's a fan. Mm-hmm. I've seen dark days and we've always bounced back, you know, felt like, hey, look, there is hope. And right now, I don't feel like there's hope because
I don't think they feel like there's hope.
I could sit there and say like last year, okay, yeah, we had COVID, we had injuries, you know, we had the hurricane. There were reasons for a lot of the things that happened. Mm-hmm. But right now, all I can say is, yeah, we've got injuries, but what about all the guys that are behind them? Mm-hmm. Nobody's just doing anything to improve. And when you've got, you know, star players sitting there saying, hey, guys are missing tackles, missing assignments, not knowing where to line up. We said this, what, at the beginning of the season, start making guys accountable. And here we are having the same conversation over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And there's no change. So yeah, we have every right to feel frustrated and just say, hey, this season's washed, because basically that's what it is.
Heading into week 10, looking like we are. And if I hear Dennis Allen say one more time, whoop, 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 we're only one game out of first, two games out of first. Boy, stop saying those words.
There's nothing to be proud of.
You do not declare that a 3-6 record is something we need to hang our hats on you clown.
And let me ask you this. Do you want them to make the playoffs? No. Do you?
Not
because I tell you what, most people I talk to said
no.
They don't want them to win the division and make the playoffs and get embarrassed in the postseason.
And get embarrassed in the first week. Listen, we already have to hear the yippity yap and the chirpity chirp or whatever of these other fan bases. Oh, look at you guys. You're always getting into the playoffs and then you get kicked out. I don't want people to start saying the same things about us that they say about other teams. And we know who those other teams are.
And that's exactly what's going to happen.
Right. And so I don't want us to win the division now. I want us to get out of this season and try and figure out where the heck this got so bungled up. I'm speechless with rage, and yet I have so many thoughts. You know, but let's celebrate LSU because I'm tired of talking about the Saints and their tomfoolery.
Yeah, I hear you. The Tigers had a phenomenal win this weekend, shocked the world.
Oh my God, that was so exciting.
Beating Bama, which, yep. I mean, Bama came into this game 6th ranked, 7-1, but it wasn't the game as a whole. It was what Brian Kelly did in overtime. The guts.
Bold!
And I'm saying that lightly here, that he had to get
that
to
win.
Get that win. He knew what it would mean. They scored the touchdown and go for two, shove it down Saban's throat because no one here in Louisiana likes Saban. Shove that game down his throat with those 2 points. And it's the zero to hero thing. If it wouldn't have worked, he would have been a zero and they would have been calling for his head. Because it did work and he had the guts to do it. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. Of course, you know, LSU won. The fans stormed the field again, fined $250,000 again by the SEC for the second time in like 3-4 weeks. They stormed the field. So that's $500,000, $500,000 in fines.
Yeah.
But everybody's attitude is just like, hey, we beat Bama. It was worth it. So that was incredible. I was happy for them because, like I said, nobody here likes Saban. And Bama's been such a juggernaut for so many years. Yeah, LSU's control of their destiny. And they beat Bama in just a spectacular fashion. And it was cool to see. So I'm happy for the Tigers. Overall, like other like than the Saints, this weekend was a great weekend. It was the first weekend of the Renaissance Fest, which we talked about last weekend. And this weekend, like it runs for weekends in a row. And then they have a big fireworks finale. But yeah, huge success. Tons of people were out there this weekend. This weekend is the Viking weekend. Every weekend they do a different theme. So it's really cool. If you haven't gotten a chance to go out, you can go check it out this weekend or next weekend or the weekend after that. So that was really cool to see the people that did go out and talk about it. They said it was a really good time. In fact, even my Twitter followers or participants in the event and also went. So that was really awesome to see too. But of course, the biggest news we all know, good things come in small packages, but news was Hubigs is back.
Yes, they are.
Yes. The rumors are true. I had been talking about it for months. People didn't want to believe me. They said, oh, you know, we've heard this before. And I'm like, nope, they're really coming back. And yes, surprisingly, on Sunday at the Po' Boy Festival, they had a pop-up. Couple thousand pies sold out. They were $3 a piece at the time. They only have apple and lemon. So before everybody's like, oh, I want chocolate, I want sweet potato, I want this or that. Right now they're only producing lemon and apple, but you can go on Hubig's website and order. They are shipping. But yes, Hubig's is officially back. They're going to be in stores. They're slowly going to roll out production locally and then start expanding a little bit outside of the GNO area. But yes, it is true. Our beloved Hubig's, who's been gone for 10 years, is back. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hubig's is back. Big news.
Oh my gosh.
Big news.
Huge. I'm so excited. I want apple. Send me apple. I'm going to order apple. So good.
Yes, it's really great to see New Orleans traditions stay alive and places come back. And you sit here and you're like, okay, this is something that's been going on. And people are like, oh, you know, pies. You don't understand. We have heard for years that this was going to come back. It was a huge fire. In fact, I remember driving to work. I was driving down West Napoleon Avenue heading to work when I heard the news on the radio that they, that the plant caught on fire. And I always would stop at the little gas station. There was a little Exxon station right by my office on Causeway, and I'd get a cappuccino. Sometimes I would get breakfast, sometimes I wouldn't. A lot of times breakfast was Hubie pies. So I picked up two, not thinking anything. And I was just like, oh, you know, they're going to be gone for a little while. Not realizing, you know, it would be a decade. The same thing happened with Ola Nola. If people know what Ola Nola are, that they're tortilla chips and also these just incredible handmade tortillas that you make tacos with. They had a fire at their plant like a year and a half, 2 years ago. And the same thing happened. People were buying the chips, buying the dip, buying the tortillas off the shelves. Now they've since come back. You take things for granted that, you know, are staples of your life for like the longest time, and then they disappear and you're just like, oh, wow. If somebody would have told me that day that I wouldn't have another the Hubig's pie for, you know, over 10 years, I'd have been like, wait, what? So yeah, they're back. People have been hitting me up online who are New Orleans natives, don't live here anymore. And they're just like, oh, you know, I would die for a Hubig's, just like a king cake. Good news is there are shipping. They're just shipping lemon and apple. But yes, love seeing small businesses. And this has been a struggle for many years, another success story. And I know they're going to do well because everybody I've talked to who have been blessed to get their hands on this thing already have told me that they're just as good as they were before.
I love it.
It makes my heart happy when I hear small, you know, small businesses that I grew up with, you know, that just are part of the city and they're back. And, you know, I wish them many, many years of success, and I know they're going to do well because, like I said, this has been a long time coming, and right now we need some feel good stories because right now the Saints aren't giving it to us. So
nope. So. And they seem hell bent on making sure they give us nothing good.
But, you know, on a flip side, we've got Thanksgiving coming up in a couple of weeks. Yep. Flores Julie will be taking a little break next week, and then we'll be back on Thanksgiving week, like we always are, talking about your favorite desserts and favorite foods and different things. And then we can effectually talk Christmas then, because I think we're in the legal zone at that point.
Oh my gracious.
So it'll be all the good things that'll be happening. Of course, if you want to hit us up online and you want to chat about Hubig's or the Saints, if you attended the Renaissance Festival or you have plans coming up for the holidays, definitely let us know. I'm Tina at The Nola Girl on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can hit us up at our Flores Chili account at Flores Chili Pod on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And Georgette, you can tell everybody where they can find you as well and come join the fun.
You can find me on the Twitter at Georgie68. That's Georgie with two E's.
And I hope everybody has a fabulous week. And we will see you in 2 weeks, Thanksgiving week, on Flores Truly for Turkey Day.
Yay!